Talon. Let's give him a good hand as he comes. Somebody from home. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. I don't consider this something that needs consent in any way. I actually consider this a high honor. Out of anywhere, I told my wife on the way here, anywhere that I could preach, this is the only place I could think of that would make me nervous to preach. And I'm not typically lost for words or a nervous kind of guy. At any rate, let me jump right in tonight. I know that so many of you have preparations to make and big dinners to cook and all of that stuff, so I don't want to stay in the way. I just want to say before we do, incidentally, speaking of tithes, I still tithe to my pastor. I've been gone from here for, I don't even know, 12 or 15 years, and I still tithe. I am a pastor myself, and I still tithe to Landmark. So, Pastor, I believe anybody who comes here really should be able to tithe. Amen. Praise God. Oh, that was a little light, but we'll get it going. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you throw your hands toward heaven real quick? Hallelujah. God, I ask your perfect will to be done in this place. Lord, I believe you're here, and I'm just going to ask you, Lord, to anoint me, God, for the next few moments of time. Touch our ears, our eyes, our mind. God, I pray, help us, Lord Jesus, to receive your word tonight. I pray that you'd challenge us in the Holy Ghost and give us liberty in our worship, God. Oh, Lord, I pray, God, your perfect will on every soul in this building. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to say it's good to be home. I couldn't wait to get to Landmark tonight, and I was hoping to get to hear my pastor preach. Praise God. I'd like to focus your attention tonight to the book of Psalms, the 85th Psalm, beginning with verse number 1, Psalm 85 and 1, and then we'll be seated. Thank you, Pastor, for the honor and the invitation to bring the word tonight, and I will do my best not to embarrass you and to stay in the will of God. How about it? The term revival is many times misunderstood to mean a series of nighttime church services that go on for a few nights, maybe several weeks. But revival in and of itself means a reviving. By definition, it's a restoration to life, consciousness, vigor, strength. It's a restoration to use, acceptance, or currency. I like this part. It's an awakening. In a church or community of interest in and care of matters relating to religion. And my favorite, it's a reawakening of faith or a renewal of commitment to God. And that's what I want to preach tonight. The results of revival with the subtitle, Landmark's Legacy. Lord Jesus, Psalm 85 and 1, the Bible says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away thy wrath, all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again? David said, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Show us mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. High five your neighbor and tell them they look good in the house of the Lord. Oh, don't worry. There may be an altar later if you need one, I'm sure. Revival comes in many shapes and sizes and colors, if you will. In the Bible, revival occurred many times of moral darkness and national depression. Each began in the consecrated heart of a servant of God who became the energizing power behind it. It only took one spark for a revival. And I'm of the persuasion tonight that those sparks are here. Each began revival with it resting upon the word of God, and most were the results of proclaiming God's word with power. All resulted in a return to the worship of God. Each witnessed the destruction of idols where they existed. In each revival, there was a recorded separation of sin. Somebody say, I need a personal revival. Somebody needs a separation of sin. In every revival, the people returned to obeying God's laws. There was a restoration of great joy and gladness. Each revival was followed by a period of national prosperity. It was in Genesis 35 where God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God. And you know the end of the story. Jacob's family was restored, and there was a turning back towards God amongst his people. It was in Exodus 32 and 33 where Moses contended with God over the plight of the children after they had created a false god in the shape of a golden calf. God revealed his power through his servant Moses, and there was great revival. Exodus 33 and 9, the Bible says this, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle. I'm going to go slow right here for a second. I want you to recognize what happened. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. Now, if you've studied the scripture much at all, you'll recognize that when we read about a cloudy pillar, it represented the presence and the Spirit of God. So as Moses enters into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar or the presence of God descended, and it stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord spoke with Moses. Church, I'm here to tell you tonight that you and I have got to go to the door of the tabernacle. And when we go to the tabernacle's door and we come into the presence of the Almighty, it's then where God will choose to begin to speak to his people. But I'm here to declare to you tonight that that's not the end of the story. See, the rest of the verse goes on like this. The Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar. Now that's what we really want. When we find out that God begins to speak in his church, then everybody else starts hearing about it. Other people see the Spirit of God descending, and they stand at the tabernacle door, and everybody rises up. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the church getting it first, and then the visitors getting it next. I'm talking about you having a revival in and of yourself, and then what happens next is all of Davidson County starts to have revival. All the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And the people rose up and then they worshiped. But they didn't stop there. The Bible says that every man returned to his own tent door. Honey, when you get revival, it don't stay at 208 Landmark Place. But when you get revival and everybody else gets revival, they take it back home. Wow. My God, the results of revival begin when you enter the tabernacle. Did you catch what happened when Moses entered the tabernacle? The presence of God came down. God spoke with Moses, but it didn't end there. Once God spoke with Moses, everybody else heard about it. The results of revival is that all the people are raising up and worshiping God. Landmark's legacy is when all the people of God here take this message back to their own house. Because when you get this thing squared away and revival gets in your heart and it comes out like a fire and you can't contain yourself, your neighbors are going to see it. Your co-workers are going to see it. Your family members are going to see it. You're going to go out from Landmark Place and everybody in Lexington is going to feel the fire because the presence of God fell. See, herein lies the problem. We come to church and we get complacent. I'm not talking to anybody here. I'm just talking to myself tonight. But we get complacent. The fire falls and we tend to cross our arms. The fire falls. The presence of God. We stop at the tabernacle door and we don't hear everything God's saying. And as a direct result, the people, what God has placed in our hands. See, pastor's not going to go to everybody's house. Pastor's not going to go to everybody's neighbors. Pastor's not going to go to everybody's co-workers and family members. God placed you where He placed you so that you could propagate revival to everywhere you went. My God, I would to God that everywhere I placed my feet, somebody would feel the presence of the Almighty. But it's not going to happen if I don't get myself in a place where I hear from God. Of course, we know the story of the great revival of the city of Nineveh. I don't remember who said this. I'd love to give him credit. I don't think it was something I thought up on my own. But it took some fishy convincing. Took a little fishy convincing, but Jonah finally preached one of the greatest revivals ever shared, with the whole city repenting and turning towards God. In the New Testament, we find revival shifting into an actual experience being manifest. It was an outpouring of God's Spirit that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Luke 24:49, Jesus made a promise to the believers there and He commanded His disciples, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. He said, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Honey, we gotta get to the tabernacle. We gotta hear from God. And when the fire falls, we gotta let it get inside of us. When the power falls, we become witnesses for God. Right, right, right. Landmark's legacy is not a one and done. It's not an in and out. It's a legacy of time. It's a legacy of witness. They'll know who we are because we are here. And they'll know that we're Christians because our love for one another. Acts 2, and you know the verses so well you could quote it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And I always stop right there, Sister Tina. I stop right there because that's my favorite four verses. I love to read that. That was pretty cool. But what we don't read the rest of the story is when we find that there were people dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, see, folks started talking about it. came to Landmark and they got what they needed from God. They heard from the Lord. Then they left out and people started talking about it. I would to God we could spread this thing like a lie. I wish you could tell people about the Holy Ghost like you could tell gossip. I wish you'd gossip about Jesus a little bit. We'll spread, no we won't. Somebody will spread a lie quick, but they won't tell the truth for nothing. Go back over the notes. It's dangerous. The Bible says they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we ever men in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Amalites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes. I should have had you read that. You're a Bible scholar. I probably butchered them, didn't I? Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed. And were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Brother Yance, when they see the revival start to bubble out of this place, they're going to ask questions. They're going to start, and let me just tell you, the end time revival, I'm of the persuasion, it's going to be the religious that are going to get it too. And they've not experienced this Holy Ghost thing. Look, I didn't grow up in this. This was really weird to me to see somebody run around and run around the aisles and jump up and shout hallelujah or to dance before the Lord. I thought these guys were weird. I still do sometimes. But I do it. They were all amazed. They were in doubt. But look what happened in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. All right. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. But it don't end there. Acts 4, 5,000 more received the Holy Ghost. This revival spread to Antioch, Corinth, Ephesus, all across Rome, and to individuals all across the Mediterranean. In Acts 10, Cornelius was an army soldier in the Italian army. He and his entire family received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. Anybody never been baptized in Jesus' name? I want to ask you, why not? It's all in the Bible. It's in the book. I don't need to be convicted. God don't have to split the sky and tell me, oh, it's a good day to get baptized. The Bible says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 3, Peter and John were on their way to the church when they met a lame man. Revival had so impacted the two of them, they did something unprecedented. Instead of giving the man some money who was asking for it while he was begging, I like what Bishop Huntley says. Man was begging for alms, alms, alms for the poor. He looked at the man, Brother Huntley said, he looked at the man and said, it ain't alms, you need his legs. Because he was stuck there from his mother's womb. But they did something unprecedented. The guy was begging for money or food, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Come on, somebody. Miracles are going to follow you. Signs are going to follow you. Wonders are going to follow you. When we get this revival that's designated for this city, when this legacy of Landmark gets out, there's going to be miracles in the streets. Stand with me if you would. In Acts 8, Philip met a eunuch of the Ethiopian queen Candace. Asked him if he understood what he was reading from the Bible. Hey, why don't we walk around and do that? Y'all ever seen anybody reading their Bible by themselves? You ever thought to do like they did in the Bible and say, do you understand what you're reading? You know what you're going to find? I did it before. Most people don't. Had a man by the name of Brother Morgan walk up to me in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea during the first Gulf War. I was crying, tears streaming down my face outside in the corridor of the ship. And he walked up to me, Pastor, and he said, he was Jamaican, what's wrong, man? I said, I don't understand. It was about the Holy Ghost. Never heard of that. I grew up Methodist. I got to light the candles when I was a little boy. I had that little thing that you rise up and down. I got to light all the candles, play with matches in church. I didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. He said, "What's wrong, man?" I said, "I don't understand." He said these words. I remember it burnt in my mind. "God is not the author of confusion." He said, "Just pray to God." And it was only a few months later I got the Holy Ghost. Kid that failed English 12, been arrested more times than we care to talk about. But God revealed to me this truth. Just like the eunuch situation. But I like the part that we tend to miss. It wasn't the man of God that suggested the eunuch be baptized. The eunuch said, "Here is much water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Somebody got to get it inside. Somebody's got to have a desire. Somebody's got to say, "I'm not waiting on anybody else. I want this for me." The results of revival, Landmark's legacy, is our backslidden children and family members are going to come home. The revival that I'm talking about is those that are needing miracles are going to receive them. Those, mark my words, the results of revival are bigger than you can imagine. We're gonna see destruction of idols in people's lives. We're gonna see a separation from sin in our children. Mom and dad, don't stop praying for your kids. There's a promise coming down that dusty road. We're gonna see a restoration of joy and gladness to biblical proportions. We're gonna see a period of national prosperity. Evangelist David Smith just told me that 268 people just received the Holy Ghost in one service in Thailand. And we're having reports from all across America. Brother Fair, 26 Holy Ghost in one service. Brother Johnson, 40 Holy Ghost in one service. Brother Cook, 20 Holy Ghost. Brother Wilbanks, 13. Brother Watts, 48. Brother Collins, 24. Brother Scoggins, 55. Brother Macy, 55. Brother Wyatt, 13. Hey, revival's just not for overseas. It's for us. The results of revival and Landmark's legacy is the pressing of the Holy Ghost across our city and our county. I believe this. This Thanksgiving season, God has given you something special. And now He wants you to give it back. He gave you the Holy Ghost. Can you tell me how they're going to hear about it if we don't share it? Do you really think that the other churches down the street are going to tell them? Most of them don't even know. Come on, somebody, why don't you raise your hands toward heaven tonight? Hallelujah. Why don't you begin to give God praise? Worship the Lord tonight. He's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of all the glory. He's worthy of all the honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Within the last month, there are at least five notable miracles. We're talking about cancer. We're talking about employment gone for God only knows how long. And then the very next day, called back to work. We're talking about, we could just go on and on. And miracles happening. Financial blessings that are happening. We got a letter this week from a politician saying thank you for your prayers. The prayers from Landmark work. Got a prayer from Brother Jackson in Tennessee. He said, he's always just calls me man of God. He said, man of God, I just came out of surgery and thank you so much for your prayer. All is well. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm not a Joseph. I'm not a Daniel. But a lady called and she said, someone told me that you know what to do with a dream that's from God. And they also told me that you will tell them if it's not from God. Well, this is my dream that I had. And I had this dream probably 3 years ago. And I've taken it to every pastor that I could think of. Can you help me? I said, I don't know. I said, what's the dream? And she told me the dream. And as she was telling me, it just unfolded. And I gave it to her. She said, that is exactly it. That is it. That's what I've been looking for. She's now in an apostolic church here in North Carolina. Amen. God has His eyes on us. Us. He's got His eyes on us. This church is like one of those 15-year locusts. We've crawled into the dirt. And God has brought us back out. But while in the process, we have morphed into something He can use. We're something different than we used to be. Amen. And because of that, we're going beyond home Bible study. We're going into the discipleship phase. That's where each one is grabbing a hold of one and we're hanging on to them until they become one of us. It's beyond a one-hour Bible study. It's beyond a 10-week Bible study. It is mentoring them into a discipleship and a program individually. They're going to tell you their needs. They're going to tell you what's going on in their lives. Even if you don't want to know, you're going to find out anyhow. And that's the people that need to know because that's the people that won't share it with everyone else. And as a result of that, this church can double this new year. Come on, it needs to be noised abroad. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, I appreciate Brother Drake coming by and preaching what I've been teaching on Tuesday nights. And so, God is taking us somewhere. Hallelujah. Right where you're at, this is what we commonly do on Tuesday night, but right where you're at, I want you to close your eyes and raise your hands. And I want you to build a personal altar right there. I want you to visualize yourself right here in the very presence of God. And I want you to ask the Lord to do a very simple thing. And that is to lead you. Because someone needs you. And if someone needs you, then the Holy Ghost has got to lead you. And so let's ask Him to lead us right now. Holy Ghost. By the Spirit, by the power, by the presence, by the mercy, by the anointing, and by the great grace of our God. I'm seeking your face for your favor. I'm seeking your face for your will. I'm seeking your face for your faith. Holy Ghost, grow it, multiply it, add to it. In the name of Jesus, let's praise Him for answering prayer. Let's praise Him for meeting needs. Let's praise Him for touching lives right now. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. What a wonderful touch of God. His great presence is with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us take it. Let us use it. Let us benefit the kingdom of God with it. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for the discipline to hear the word of God. Now let's pray for the discipline to do what we have heard. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. Shake somebody's hand. Greet the Drakes, others that are here visiting perhaps.